Log Talk Radio. Log Talk Radio.
On the Edge. Real talk about real issues.
Welcome to the On the Edge show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. Happy Friday, everybody. It's the end of the week. TGIF, let's get loose. Let's get relaxed. Tonight, we are going to have a special treat going on. Let's get started with our shout-outs. First, to the Lord for giving us another day to be here. Thank you, Father, because today and tomorrow is never promised to anyone. So thanks that we have another chance to be here to mix it up. Now, to Barry Mason, formerly of 98.7 Kiss FM Radio in New York City, he is now with iSoulRadio.com. You can hear Barry spin his DJ magic on Saturdays from 7 to 10 p.m. and on Sundays from 6 to 10 p.m. When he's not doing that, he is gracing New York City with his great R&B events all over New York City, Brooklyn, Manhattan, doing his thing, giving you the best of R&B performances, live performers, the best of music, DJ mixes, awesome environment. That's Barry doing his thing. Thank you, Barry, for all that you do. To Stephanie Hammond-Tillette and Marcia Morgan, the two divas from Simply Sensational, Inc., Event Planning Company, they are the absolute most wonderful people that you can meet, and they have some great grown and sexy events themselves. So I want to thank them. They will be here tonight. Then we have my team, my wonderful, marvelous team, Monster Miles with his raunchy sports, and Lady Diamond and Elaine Yeves, my co-host who's out there reaching the community in her part of the woods, doing her thing as a softball coach for Little League girls sports, and kicking it here, mixing it up on the panel every topic, giving her great insights. They are the best people you can ever work with. I want to thank them very much for being around and making this show get to where it is. Now, tonight, everyone, we have a very, very special lineup for you. We have the two ladies that I just previously mentioned, Ms. Stephanie Hammond-Tillette and Marcia of Simply Sensational, Inc. They will be here tonight, along with two comedian legends. We have Kenny Williams, who's all over BET, doing his thing. He's from Queens, New York, like I am, and he's funny. You guys have seen him. If you know who he is funny. And in addition, we have Uptown Comedy Club's former host, Mr. Sugar Bear, and these men will be in here not for laughs tonight. Tonight, they're going to be speaking on the importance of men going in to get checked, the reason why. They are going to be, Sugar Bear is going to be sharing his special story to let you know. Kenny Williams will be speaking as well on healthcare and how important it is. And in addition, he's going to be talking to us from the freelancer's point of view about how hard things are out there, how people tend to think that freelancers, because they have a little bit of a celebrity status, they're not people, that they don't go through the same things we go through, and also how hard healthcare is for freelancers to obtain. So now, hopefully, with the Affordable Care Act in place, this might change things for them. But they're both going to be here to spend their insight on this important topic. So you know how this goes. Going into our early break, when we get back, the topics will get started. Okay, so today I'm going to go out with Cher Lloyd and T.I., with a song called I Wish. Be back in 4 minutes.
Aight. Make a wish, girl. You deserve it.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Baby, I can let you go with wish that I never did. Freaking perfect and 5'10". Just want to punch your lip. Yeah, I know that I've been so
don't you wanna do something, baby, with the roof gone, baby? SMR look retarded like the crew gone crazy. I'm not sure what kind of fella you like, but I can get you paradise, heaven, however you like. I'm talking solitaire, iced out, ring watch, necklace. Ain't no talking reckless, girl, I'm certified, respect it, girl. You like to run your mouth, well, you about to learn a lesson, girl. Yeah, you the one, but I replace you in a second, girl. And I ain't even trying to see you naked, girl, wait. There I go, exaggerate, clearly carried away, but what I'm saying, you can true that. I wanna be wherever you at, so you wishing you could kiss me. Do you really wanna do that? Make a wish, girl.
Yeah, I wish I was strong, but I wish I was fast. Wish I could jump with a bag on the cat. Cause if I want you, I gotta have that. Yeah, I wish I had that, and I wish I had flash. Wish I could jump with a dart and a rack. Cause if I want you, I gotta have that. Yeah, I wish I was strong.
You're listening to On the Edge.
Welcome back, everybody, to the On the Edge show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. That was Cher Lloyd with T.I. singing the song I Wish, and I love it. So, tonight's topic, everybody, is about healthcare, particularly in men. Now, all of you have seen the post. We have our guests in, as it is. We are talking to, first, our two divas from Simply Sensational, Inc. You guys have heard me say their name at the start of every show, and I can't say just how amazing these two ladies are. They are out there giving you the best of the Grown and Sexy events all over New York. For those of you who don't live in New York, take a boat, take a plane, get up here, experience one of the events just once, and I guarantee you'll be back. But in addition, I have the blessed privilege of knowing them behind the scenes. And these are two very crafted and dedicated to the community and to the things that they put out there for your entertainment to the letter. One of the things that is on the table tonight came from Stephanie reaching out to me about trying to promote new healthcare and this particular subject, because men don't like to go to the doctor. And our men are getting sicker, and they're just dying off or getting sick, and this is because, I don't know if it's a manly thing, I guess they'll tell us when they get in, but it's important that, you know, we take advantage now of whatever healthcare affordability is out there, and we take care of ourselves. So let's start in with our first two guests, and we'll be bringing in the rest as we go along. Welcome to the show, caller. You're on the air.
Hi, this is Stephanie from Simply Sensational, Inc.
Hi, it is Stephanie. Let me bring in our other panelists. Give me a minute. Welcome to the show, caller.
Hi, this is Marcia from Simply Sensational, Inc.
Hi, divas.
Hi.
All right, hold on. Let me bring in our other guests for just a second. Welcome to the show, caller. You're on the air.
How you doing? It's Kenny Williams.
Hey, Kenny, how are you? Welcome, all three of you. All right, Kenny, you know that you're one of the starlights of the evening, so let me just start with the ladies first, okay? And I'll get right to you. All right, Miss Stephanie, I'm going to you first because I called you in first. You reached out to me on this very sensitive and important subject. I want you to just give the listeners a little bit of a summary as to what it's about. Then, Marcia, you join in, and then we're going to give Kenny the mic because I know he has an engagement today. So start with you, Ms. Collette.
Okay. Doing an event called Comedy Cares, which is a comedy show fundraiser on October 22nd. It's going to be at Abella. That's 10 Reed Street in Manhattan. Basically, Comedy Cares is an event that's going to promote health care to entertainers such as comedians, singers, actors, agents, promoters within the five boroughs, informing them of affordable health care options. And basically, we're also reaching out to the community as well. this fundraiser is it goes to help those that are in need. We're doing this event. We have a lot of the comics on BET Comic View coming out. And on this special night, we're going to be honoring two comedians, Sugar Bear and Roz G.
Wow. That sounds really awesome already, just the two names alone. And they do deserve to be honored. They've done a lot.
Yes.
And this event is also going to be sponsored by Health First.
Oh, wonderful. Health First, as you all know, ladies and gentlemen, is one of the top health care plans that's out there. So the health care insurance companies, and they're pretty much, I've been looking into, like, the things that they offer, and they're pretty good. They have a lot of competition out there, but they're pretty much well-rounded to, like, everybody of all classes and stuff. All right, Marcia, what's your take on things?
Well, Stephanie really summed it up, but I just really want to say that our men, especially our people, our men, they really need to go out there and get screened. They need to do every kind of screening, the colon and the prostate. They really need to do this. We need to just get these men out there and get to the doctor. I don't know what's holding them up. Like you would say, is it a manly thing or not? I don't understand it, but we need to push them and get them out there.
Absolutely. We do have one more panelist. Let me bring them in, and then I'm going to go to Kenny. One second. Hi, welcome to the show, Callie. You're on the air.
Yes, good evening, everyone. How's everybody doing? God bless you.
God bless you. Hi, Deacon. Okay, Deacon, you remember Stephanie and Marcia from your visit to New York where we connected for the stuff. So Priscilla is on here. And then we have comedian Kenny Williams on the other panelist slot. So, Kenny, this is Deacon Williams. Deacon Williams, this is Kenny.
How you doing there, brother?
All right, how you doing, Kenny?
I'm
very familiar with you, man. You are, man, you're out there, man. You're off the hook.
Yes,
thank you
for the laugh. And I've definitely, the three of you, well, actually all four of you, but, you know, my divas over there and Kenny, I'm very honored that you chose us. You know, you chose me to have this as a platform. Very honored. And Kenny, I'm a fan too. Now, I have to tell the listeners who don't know you that one of the things I saw, I was rewatching it yesterday, and I was cracking up to tears at 3 in the morning. My kids got up thinking I was getting beat up or something. But it was the joke you said about you want to go home and go to sleep, so you're going to definitely answer your cell phone when it rings.
Yeah.
And you said you said that one day you thought that it was going to be a cute voicemail and your woman left you a scary message talking about, I hope you're dead. Oh, yeah, you better be dead. You know, and you're like, if you're dead, you could have called me from heaven. God would have let you call me. You know, so I was sitting there cracking up so loud that my children woke up out of their sleep and like, Ma, what happened? I'm like, Kenny Williams. I don't know. Kenny, you were hilarious, and I was watching it, and then I was listening to, I think it was the Rich and the Black Guy or something like that, and I was like, oh, my God, he's hilarious. But, all right, sir, so tell us why you're here today.
Oh,
yeah, Kenny, you. I'm sorry.
Oh,
after that big opening.
Okay. Well, I came up with this concept, and I'm so grateful as far as Simply Sensation, that these two young ladies, that they came in and we were able to get it all together in a short period of time, is that over a course, like in the past 10 years, a lot of my comedians, and I like to say my peers and coworkers, were passing away. And what really inspired me is that, you know, as a comedian, you're hired to do a lot of different things. And one of these things that law enforcement do, they call 1013s, where they get together and raise funds if an officer is facing difficult times. And I was inspired. It was like, here we are comedians, and it's really like a small group of us that why don't we do that for each other? And the only time we reunite is at a funeral. It's like, you know, it's like you only see people at family reunions,
right,
or at funerals. And I said, we know that sometimes, you know, we already know beforehand if there's a particular comedian going through something, and we can all step in and support that person. We know it because we work with each other and we develop relationships outside of comedy. So I said, you know, something just needed to be done, and it was more or less like just a really get-together, and then it just sparked off to something more. And outside of even my comedians, what inspired even more is that I had two family members, my father and my younger brother, who was just 1 year younger than me, died too early. And it was all of that, you know, the black men not going to doctors and following up, and you're dying way before, you know, your time, when it could be prevented. So it's not just, I didn't want it to be just a black thing or just a New York thing. Hopefully it can be something nationwide. And even I also go overseas, like England and Amsterdam, and there's a lot of, you know, men of color, but over in England, you know, they got the health care. They don't have to pay for it. But either or, you know, it's something that we all can support each other entertainment-wise.
Wow. That's an absolute great viewpoint and great thing to do. Now, Kenny, when we were speaking earlier in the pre-interview stage, you said something that I found very intriguing, and I would like for you, as a person in with some status, to actually be able to convey this message to, let's call it, you know, us average shows. Because a lot of people, you know, we always have this syndrome where people are on the outside looking in and they got plenty that they assume is happening, but nobody really cares to get past the window pane and find out what's going on. So we spoke on how you as a freelancer definitely have problems or don't really have health care, if any at all. And I know that they have a freelancers union group now that's trying to be formed to help all freelance workers, you know, get some benefits. So speak on that. You know, talk to us.
Yeah, it is. You know what it is? I think, like, a lot of times people look at us and they think glamorous life. Financially, it's not like that. You know, some guys are well off financially. And some guys are uninsured or underinsured, and so they can't, you know, get that sort of service to even help them with their illnesses or whatever they're facing physically. That, you know, so is that was the other thing, and it was a thing just to bring awareness of that, you know, that not just as a comedian, just even actors. Whereas, like, you can't just get up and go, you know what, I'm going to go to the doctor, or you just can't afford to pay this co-payment and or just have insurance and get all these prescriptions and so on and so forth. So that was another thing also. But it goes back to, like, men in general, especially black men, is that we can't show that vulnerability and talk about what's going on, what's wrong with us. And I know a lot of times health is a very private thing, but at this point it's no longer a private issue. It's something that's affecting a wide range, not just comedians, but, you know, black men between the ages of 30 and 50.
Yes, absolutely. Actually, out in Manhattan, New York, you know, New York is like the land of everybody trying to display themselves, be it singing in the train stations or, you know, standing in some court square. And one of the things that I do, especially as, you know, working in Madison Square Garden, is that I interact with a lot of them, you know, while everybody sits around and just tosses change or tries to, you know, cover their eyes and keep it moving. I actually, you know, ask and listen, especially if I like what I'm hearing. And I actually know artists, people who actually draw or paint, that speak just on what you're talking about. And a lot of times people look at artists and they seem to be so, like, exquisite and elite. And people tend to think that they're in this big, grand, you know, like, money pot. But they're sitting in a train station trying to show their work. That's not the museum by any means. Right. So, yeah, it is. It's hard. And this, I don't think it's just black men, but I think it's more with black men. But men in general, from the ages of dust, have been taught to, you're the provider. You don't get to cry. You don't get to feel bad. There's never supposed to be something you can't solve. You know, and that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous because you know how many you know, children that get molested as boys that can't say anything because they're supposed to be manly or able to handle it or fight back. I like that you're bringing that up.
Yeah, it's, you know, the thing with, like with men, as far as like with women on an ongoing basis, you know, you have to because of the go to your kind of college and stuff. So you're somewhat used to talking about the most kids. But men are not, you know, so you feel like, I don't need to go to the doctor and so on and so forth. And it's regular checkups, so they only go once in a blue moon, or they only go when there's just an extreme pain.
Right. Yes.
So this is, I hope this is a platform, not just as a fundraiser or a business, you know, benefit, but it's more or less like it could be a teaching tool to or just an awareness for people that we need to support and we need to have some sort of conversation on this and, you know that people are there for you and, you know, start to go to the doctor. With all this free thing that they give free, you know, they offer free prostate, free flu shots and stuff like that. And these guys don't take a,
Right. I know a lot of men that are just afraid of needles and they don't want to say, they don't want to say anything.
Yeah.
Well, I'm one that have a fear of needles myself, so.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of them. I'm not a fan of them. I'm not a fan of them, of the laser, man.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, we'll just give you a big old blanket mask and we'll just let you, you know, fall asleep and get you that way. We have another panelist on the line and we must let this one in, so hang on one second.
Okay.
Welcome to the show, caller. You're on the air.
This is Sugar Bear. How are you?
Welcome,
hey,
Sugar Bear. Sugar Bear. You're the man. You're the man. Hello there. Okay, Sugar,
yeah.
I know what your story is. Let me let Kenny finish. Kenny, I believe you told me you had an engagement you had to be at, so I'm going to let you finish out your point, okay?
Yeah, well, there's a point. I think I summed it up. The important thing, I just hope that everyone can come out and, you know, we're not just going to do one show and that's it, you know, or one fundraiser, what have you. We're going to have a few, like I said, it's going to be a co-drive, and then we have another event happening in Queens, and then we have another one, in, you know, in the beginning of the new year. And hopefully if that people could come out and build awareness and, you know, the support can start to come in the conversation.
Well, you can count on OTE, which is us, being there to help that, because if everything goes okay, and I don't want to etch this in stone just yet, we're actually going to try to, like, you know, co-broadcast while you're there so people can hear, you know, what you're doing. Maybe not the show so much as, you know, we're going to be commentating on things that's going on and what it's about. And it is a fundraiser. Am I correct, Stephanie?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
We're charging $10 for the admission. And it's tax deductible.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. You know, I will definitely, I have the information from you. As soon as we get up, we have to update the show's website, and I'll definitely put it on the website and on the show's Facebook page so that everybody could have, you know, extra access to reading about it if they don't know where to go with you. I think that you're absolutely fantastic, Mr. Williams. I can tell you
that.
Thank you. You know, your talents are wonderful, but it's nice. You know, a lot of people don't like to take comedians seriously because, you know, since your job is to make us laugh, side-splittingly, I might add, it's hard for people to look past the laughing and see that you guys have, you know, kids that get sick, you know, you have struggles. People tend to think when they see all these singers out there, too, that they're getting all this massive amount of money, when in reality, after all the promoters are paid and the managers are paid, they get like 3 cents a record, you know, so it's we don't tend to see past the fluff and you know, the fluff and the gift wrapping and the window dressing that the industry designs us to see to bring you in, you know, to put the spotlight and the glamour on you, as you said earlier. And I think that you being here to say what you're saying today makes a hell of a difference, and it's definitely like a community social responsibility that somebody knows something.
Yeah. I would like to commend you myself, Mr. Williams, and I know you're a very cool guy because you're a Williams. I would like to just tell you that I really appreciate what you're doing because I'm a cancer survivor myself. And I had some problems with prostate. I had an enlarged prostate, but they've got that under control right now. And what I would like to say is all the men that are out there listening, get over that macho side of yourself and get over yourself and get to a doctor and get it checked out because it's something that's very serious. And you just have to understand, man, that this is nothing to play with. I mean, it can take you out before you know it.
Yes,
you know,
it could.
So stop playing around. It's no joke. It's no joke.
Yes, and they're saying, I've just accessed an article just for those of you that are, you know, the macho thing, and I'm going to allow Sugar Bear because Sugar Bear is the one that's going to be touching on the prostate cancer and things that affect more so. The prostate cancer is actually not targeting where it's, you know, it's pointing you out, but for some reason African-American men are getting the higher instances of it. And more than ever, you know, guys, we need you. I mean, we need you. So do something to keep yourself around as long as you can. You know,
yeah.
We don't, nothing's promised. We understand that. But if we're giving
right.
ourselves every aspect of trying to keep the prevention level up, you know, you can't go wrong with that.
Right.
You know, Sugar Bear, I'm going to be addressing you in just a couple of seconds, okay? I'm trying to, apparently.
No, I'm fine. I'm listening.
Apparently, people are trying to call in, and the panel is full right now, which is something we haven't had, you know. It's a shame that you people are calling on the panel only when the celebrities are here. Shame on you. They're people. They're people. No, but I mean, like, right now, the caller panel is filled. You know, to the limit. So now we have to count on people listening to the live stream. So, what you're saying, people are still listening out there, and it's amazing. I mean, you're sitting here, both of you, and you too, my ladies. You know that you're my favorites, right?
Likewise.
Thank you. You guys are appealing right now to 14,119 listeners, and that went up
right.
from 14,042 just yesterday morning. So, we, you know, this is a big forum for you to be in one spot and speak to that many people. And I don't know how many men listeners I have, but I'm praying that they are out there listening and, you know, getting over this macho stuff.
If I could just cut in right quick. If we can get the women, and this is the, my drive is, you know, it took me and my sisters and my sister-in-law going at my brother constantly to get him to go. So, you know, women, you have the power. Yes, you can talk to him. You can drive him. Drive him crazy if you have to. But if that's what it takes to get him to get to the doctor, then that's what it takes.
Uh-huh.
Drive him crazy with it.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
You know, it's real.
Yes, it is.
There is a macho factor. My father had 2 strokes in 3 weeks, okay? And to this day, the man has a cane, he walks to the side, he can barely turn his head, and he swears to God he didn't have a stroke. He swears to God he didn't have a stroke. He walks around going, I don't need no help, I don't do this. And I'm sitting there like, yes, you do, Dad, but you know what? Whatever it is that you want to ask us for, he doesn't need help, but every 3 seconds he's like, could you hand me my briefcase? Could you open the book for me? Could you do this? We're like, yes, sure, Dad. He had 2 strokes in 3 weeks, and he swears to God it was, I don't know, heartburn maybe?
Come on, you got to be kidding.
Right, but he tells the doctor that, you know, the doctor misdiagnosed. He said, no, sir, we ran all sets of tests twice. Well, I want somebody else. So they brought somebody else from Columbia Presbyterian to go to the hospital he was in, which got the same results, and he's still saying he's not incapacitated.
Mm.
So I'm like,
yeah. That's
terrible because now you need the support, and this is the time for you to accept it. And if you're going to sit there and at 77, still thinking that you're back on the high school football team, you know, uh-huh. going rah rah,
yeah.
and I'm going to get this.
That's not
you know,
macho. That's crazy.
Yeah, well, that's my other macho.
Honestly, it sounds crazy, but it is something that men go through. Because I went through this with my dad, who refused to believe that he just couldn't do anything. He didn't believe that, you know, hey, I don't remember how to get home. You know, uh-huh. and he was lost for 3 days in the car, right over the George Washington
wow.
Bridge, right over the bridge. Three
wow.
days. The police get him, and they're like, you know, are you aware that he has $5,000 in his pocket? And he thinks he was going to the corner store.
Wow.
So,
wow.
you know, when we took the keys from him, it's a freedom thing. And it falls back on things that you're told as a young boy and as a teenage boy. And I'm going through this myself. I'm having to fight my own self with the things that my dad would say to me. You know, a man doesn't complain. You stand and you do what you need to do. You don't complain. You don't cry. You don't deal with pain. It's pain. It's going to be there. You are a man. Get out there and do what you need to do. And this is what I grew up hearing from my dad, me and my brothers. Now, I could only imagine. My dad lived to 86 years old.
Oh, wow.
So he lived from, you know, the sharecropper days, segregation days. He lived through all of that.
Yep.
To hear men constantly say, you do it. You do it. Regardless. So when those freedoms are starting to be taken away from you, physically and mentally, we as men tend to fight it. I did the same thing with my cancer. I thought, maybe I worked too hard today. Maybe I went too hard in the gym today.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there was no reason for my lower back to be hurting me. But I kept coming up with reasons why it hurt, why I'm in pain. So finally I go to the doctor, and the doctor tells me, well, this is what's causing your pain. It's not what you think it is. No, you didn't overwork at the gym. So when you're dealing with older men, I'm finding, especially older men, black men or men in general, we tend to think there's nothing that I can't do. There's nothing I can't
yeah.
handle.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? My father would always tell us, I raised y'all. Y'all are not raising me. I raised you.
Uh-huh.
Who are you to tell me I can't do it?
Uh-huh.
You know, these are things that we have to overlook. Overlook that he's going to fight you. And I understand that your dad doesn't believe he had a stroke. And sometimes you have to teach that lesson has to be taught the hard way.
Uh-huh.
Don't get that for him.
I try to tell him that.
I'm sorry.
I didn't know you were still talking, so I wouldn't have interrupted. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I try to tell him that he should look at the blessing side of it because, understand, two strokes in 3 weeks usually render somebody almost completely incapacitated. You know, my father can still drive around with, you know, he has a motorized van. He can still drive.
Mm-hmm.
He has people that help him. He has the handicap slots, you know, license plates, so he can park close to areas. And he still has the ability to stand and to speak, and he's gotten over the speech incapacitation. But I tell him, instead of you looking at the fact that you are able to stand and advocate for other men who are facing what you face, my father ate so much fried foods, it wasn't funny. But in the same token, he was the first person to teach us all about the healthy foods. So over the years, all that Southern fried goodness, you know, caught up and got his arteries. And I told him, I said, but now you can sit there, and he's also a minister, so you can advocate to a whole congregation that to put past this dumb macho thing, okay, and go to the doctor. You know what I never understood about men? You men could race cars at 150 miles an hour over a steep hill. You could fight a dragon with a little tiny knife, all right? You can go up to people you've never seen before that happen to look at you wrong, start a big old fight. You don't know if that person has a chainsaw in their pocket, was going to stab you or shoot you. But you get scared of a 10-second examined by a doctor, a 2.4 centimeter needle, and women and their monthlies. I never understood that.
I can't understand that either.
I know, really.
Got me on that.
All right,
one,
come
man.
On, ladies.
Wow.
Am I right? Were they not
yeah,
the stupidest things?
Perfect. Very good.
Yeah.
My God, or the love word. Don't say love and baby and don't say monthly because it's like, what? No, no, we're out. I think the most handicapped of men would know how to do a 10-mile sprint at that time. You know?
Well, I don't have a fear of
monthly. Yeah, that monthly. I don't even know why y'all call it friend because it's an enemy.
Yeah, it's our enemy.
I don't know who would call
it. In the olden days, as my mother would say, the moon over Miami.
Yeah, right.
Ain't nothing friendly about that at all.
I like that one. Oh, we have two more panelists, and you see what you guys have done. Hold on.
Well, I gotta sign off. Hey, Sugar Bear, it's good hearing from you, brother.
Hey, man, it's good hearing from you, man. I meant to call you. I'll give you a call.
I'm gonna give you a call either tomorrow or over the weekend.
Okay.
Hey, Kenny, you keep making it do what it do, my brother.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
And thank you for your input. You see what the show does? It brings everybody together. It's like Facebook. It's so awesome.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, you know. The comedy world is real tight. We may argue and fuss on the road and fussing behind shows, behind the curtain, but we all care about each other.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. And thank you for your very serious input on tonight's topic, because it is a very important issue. Very much so.
All right, there. God bless
y'all. Anytime, Kenny.
Okay. And have a good weekend. God bless you.
All right, you do the same.
Bye,
all right,
Kenny.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Okay. I need to bring in our other two panelists, and then I'm going to go right to you, Mr. Sugar Bear. Hold on.
Okay.
Welcome to the show. Oh, no, wait, I didn't get her. Did I get him? All right. Yep, got him now. Welcome to the show, Callie, on the air.
Hello? Hey, how's it going?
Hey, Rod, welcome.
I heard someone say monthly.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Did I say yes to that?
1 second. Let me
no
bring
more
it on
Friday,
next.
Saturday nights for me.
Oh, my God. We're going to say love, baby, and monthly, and watch how quickly these guys can make the 10-mile marathon.
I'm not afraid of the word love. I'm not afraid
they
of baby.
They give us all a stroke.
1 second. Oh, Lord, these mics are acting up. Okay. Welcome to the show, Corley. You're on the air. Okay, we'll bring them back. They're probably listening in. All right. Sugar, do you want me to start you now? Because I do have to take a little break, and I can start you as soon as the break is over.
It's up to you. It's your show. I'm a guest. So, you know.
You are not a guest. We are all family on this panel, okay?
It's your show, baby girl. You tell me what to do.
All right. I'm not as
hard-headed as I used to be, I should say.
He wasn't hard-headed at all. I can't even imagine that. He's too sweet. Okay.
Oh, trust me. I was hard-headed. I was a hard-headed man for a long time.
We probably would have been going
out. You're not alone, man.
You know, got a couple of soft spots, but I'm good now.
Yeah.
I've learned to listen.
You got
well,
that right.
Ladies
you know
and gentlemen.
You know saying about a hard head?
You leave that for after the break, Deacon.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, when we get back, we are going to be speaking with the former host of Uptown Comedy Club in Harlem, New York, Mr. Sugar Bear, another funny man, who has a very important story to tell, and he advocates as well, which you will find out what that is for after the break. Now, since we are on such a serious topic and we're on a light mood, on the panel, and I have my two lovely ladies who give us the best of fun and R&B music out there. I'm going to go out with a little bit of a party song called Footwork by Will Trax. Be back in 3 minutes.
I need everybody to the dance floor on this one right now. Where's the Bronx? Where's Harlem? It's real trash. I don't want no problem. Where's Queens? Where's Brooklyn? Ladies scream if you feel you're good looking. Put your drinks up. Take your shoes off. Super trash. This is what we do, y'all. Who you know make the club rock? Real trash. I'ma ride it out to the beat drop. Who put the party in the frenzy? So meet me on the floor where the ladies be. Long as the beat keeps going, the track keeps flowing, the drink keeps flowing. Let me see some footwork. Super rocking all night till your feet hurt. I'll be the life for the party, from the club to the hotel lobby. Let's work. Let's work. Let's work. Let's work. I break a heel, break a heel, sweat it out, sweat it. I break a heel, break a heel, sweat it out. Of the city, yes. They say, did he run the city? Come on. So I stay fresh like Dougie. East Coast, West Coast, worldwide. It's even footwork up in the UK. Break a heel, sweat it out, that's my new way. And this one is for the dancers. Who's the best host out? I need dance. Break a heel, break a heel, sweat it out, sweat it. I break a heel, break a heel, sweat it out, sweat it. I break a heel, break a heel, sweat it out, sweat it. I break a heel, break a heel, sweat it out, sweat it. Let me see some footwork. 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 Oh, y'all thought it was over? Well, the party's not over. I need my dancers on. Point to a spot. Let me see some footwork. Let's work. Let me see some footwork. Let's work. Let me see some footwork. Let's work. Let me see some footwork. Let's work.
Now, back with more On The Edge.
Welcome back, everybody, to the On The Edge show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. All right, that was a little party groove, and I'm going to ask my panelists to tell me which one of you were not dancing.
I wasn't dancing too much. I was bobbing my head.
I was bopping in my seat. I'm happy. I love that song. I go nuts at the club with that one. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, the next voice you are about to hear is going to be that of legendary Sugar Bear, formerly the host of Harlem's Uptown Comedy Club. And he has a special story to tell behind the laughs, so no laughing, pay attention. Let's go, Sugar Bear. Why are you here tonight, baby?
Well, you know, first off, we can laugh. I'm a comic. And, you know, the group I'm putting together or the organization I'm working on currently is to bring awareness of prostate cancer in the black community. So, you know, I am a comic, so I'm going to use the gift that was given me, you know, to help put this work here. So, you know, I may say some stuff that's funny, and if so, you know, feel free. You know, I can take a joke, trust me. And I'll tell you some things that some of my have said to me, even, you know, who are not comics, and, you know, they said these things to me. So basically what I'm talking about today is roughly about 2 months ago, I was diagnosed with prostate cancer. I'm 46 years old. I just turned 46. Went into the hospital, emergency room, complaining of chest pains because it was some things going on, like, say, that Sunday. Had a little bit of chest pain. It went away. And then it came back that Monday while I was doing laundry, as a matter of fact. So I go to the emergency room, and my doctor there tells me, you know, we're going to keep you for observation. So I'm thinking, okay, it's got to be something with my heart because the pain I'm getting is right up around my heart. So it's got to be something going on. And then they're keeping me. So something serious is going on. Maybe I caught it early. My heart doctor comes in, you know, and he's like talking to me, you know, we did the EKG. You watched it. You know, basically, I watched my EKG on a flat screen TV. They went in through my artery with a fiber optic camera and went into my heart with this camera, and I'm watching this on TV. And the doctor squirts the dye in there, and, you know, I watch all the little arteries and all that stuff light up around my heart. So there's no blockages there. So he comes to, you know, I guess he comes in to tell me there's nothing going on with your heart, but we're going to run some other tests. So then another doctor comes in, and this doctor walks in the room, and this is a doctor who I had not seen before, ever. Didn't know this man from anywhere. And he's asking me all these cancer-related questions. And, you know, as I'm sitting here on the bed, I'm looking at him like, dude, you're in the wrong room. Because I didn't come in here with anything cancer-related. So he's telling me, well, I saw something in your scan. I just happened to be in the room while your doctors were looking at your CT scan, and I saw something that caught my eye. So I had them run some other tests. He said, so if this was a crime scene, think of it as a crime scene. I'm seeing evidence that's pointing to you possibly having prostate cancer. Now, this is the first time I hear this. So you can imagine the fear and the feelings that went through me. And he says, we're going to run a PSA test. We're going to run, you know, a bone scan. And, you know, I'll let you know what's going on. So he comes back a couple of hours later, and he's like, well, your PSA levels are off the chart. Your PSA levels should be, yeah. Someone say something? Oh. Well, my PSA levels at the time were up around 475 when they should have been 0, 1 maybe. He says, so everything is saying you have prostate cancer. So, you know, of course, I'm in this hospital and I'm hearing this, and yeah, it threw me for a loop. And I put on the tough guy face, and I'm on my phone and I'm Googling. As he's telling me what's going on, I'm Googling to find out, you know, causes and what could we do. And, you know, he's telling me, well, we can treat it. We caught it, and we can treat it. You are at a treatable level. He said it is stage 4. It has gotten into your pelvis. So to explain the pains that you're feeling throughout your body, that's where those pains are coming from. He said, have you noticed? I said, yeah, the last 3 months, my lower back would bother me. Sometimes a shoulder would hurt. Sometimes it'd be my leg, it'd be my knee, my right knee, left knee. Every day it was something different that would hurt. So I'm taking Advil, I'm taking Aleve, and I'm taking the icy hot patch. I'm doing all this stuff because I'm thinking maybe I'm straining my muscles, maybe I'm working too hard, maybe I'm standing too long. But what I'm finding is the Advil may work today, it won't work tomorrow. The Aleve worked today. I might get 2 days out of the Aleve, but that third day, it's not going to work. The patch is not going to work. Nothing is taking care of this pain. Pain is just getting worse and worse. So I explained that to the doctor, and he's telling me, well, that's where your pain is coming from. It's in your pelvis. So we can treat it. You can do the surgery. You can do hormone therapy. Now, being that I am currently stage 4, what they call stage 4 inoperable, because it has already spread into my pelvis. So it wouldn't make any sense to do prostate removal or to remove the testicles, which would eliminate what the cancer is feeding off of. So we chose to go with the hormone therapy. Now, he broke it down to me. The hormone therapy is just that. You're going to get a shot every 3 months. And believe me, it is it's a sizable needle. I'm not a fan of needles by no means. So, when she told me, when he's telling me this, I'm like, man, needles? He's like, yeah, it's going to be a shot every 3 months. He said, I'm going to give you another shot, which is going to help keep your bones strong. So the shot that I take every month is called Exgenda, I think the name is. And what it does is it keeps my bones strong, whereas the cancer would be trying to weaken my bones and make them brittle, and I would be getting fractures and things like that, just, you know, countless fractures from unnecessary things. So I take that every month. I take the hormone shot every 3 months. The side effects to the hormone shot is I will get the same effects as going through menopause. So I call my brother-in-law, who's a 9-year survivor of prostate cancer, and I have a cousin who's a 14-year survivor of it. And you don't really think about these things until they hit you. And believe me, I was terrified. You know, I'm in a city. I'm down here in Charlotte. I'm in a city by myself, and I'm in this hospital, and I have to now call my family and let them know what's going on with me. I didn't have no coverage. My job had let me go, I guess, a couple of weeks before I could apply for the medical coverage. You know, you have to work 90 days before you can get the coverage. So they let me go before then, so I had no coverage. Now, this is a good thing, and I guess the good thing is I knew God was looking out, because my doctor says to me, the Exgenda shot, I'm going to go through that company that makes that shot and see if we can get you in the program where you get this shot for free. I didn't even ask him for that. He said, I'm going to see if I can get that one for free. I'm also going to see if I can get the Xumetta, which is the hormone shot, for you for free. It might take me a little while, but I'm going to get that for you for free. It took him about 4 weeks. And like I said, I did not ask this doctor to do this. He called me up. He said, I finally got them to give it to you for free. Now, the Xumetta shot, if it wasn't free, this shot is $200 per shot. That's every 3 months, 200 cash. I would have had the cash. Okay, just to get that shot to survive. So, yeah, it would hurt two times. It would hurt from the needle and hurt my pocket, because I wasn't working at the time. My unemployment had stopped. So, you know, it was the fear of, man, I need the help. I have no money. I need the help, but I have no way of getting or paying for anything. So he Dr. Salmon, which is my cancer doctor, puts me in touch with the financial person at his clinic. And she says to me, I know you don't have any coverage. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to concentrate on getting well. I'm going to take care of the rest. I'm going to get you signed up for Medicaid. I'm going to get you signed up for your Social Security disability, because now you can apply for that. You know, not only are you diabetic, but now you have this diagnosis, so you should get it the first time through. So I'm like, what do you mean first time through? And she's like, yeah, Social Security disability usually turns you down two times before they believe you actually have.
Yes, they do.
So she said, because of your diagnosis, you should go right through. So I'm like, okay, you know, Ms. Rita, I don't know, you know, What do you need me to do? She goes, well, I can go through your medical records. She had to trace back for Medicaid. She had to trace back 2 years of bills that were owed to hospitals for me making visits, 2 years back. Good thing all of this stuff was electronically on file.
Wow,
but she was able to get all of that. She said, I got all that. Medicaid is going to pay back. They'll back pay up to 3 months.
Okay.
So that you don't worry about. It's going to take a couple of days for that to come in the mail. You should get it by Saturday. Like, she kept me abreast of everything. And like I said, I didn't ask this woman to help me. I didn't even ask this doctor for help. But this is what they did. And this is how I know God looks out for you.
Mm-hmm. He does.
And the lessons and the things that I was now being brought to my attention that I was now seeing. So she says to me, you know what, the disability thing, that should go right through. The thing that held that up was the government shutdown.
Mm.
When they shut down, my paperwork is sitting on someone's desk,
yeah,
waiting to be looked at, and my decision waiting to be rendered. So, you know, I mean, that's what I'm waiting on. I applied for the EBT when I was getting unemployment here in the state of North Carolina. You can't get unemployment and the EBT.
No,
so had
that,
I,
you can't get that easy nowhere. You can't get both even out here in New York.
No, well, she just told me here in North Carolina that if I got the EBT, they were going to cut how much I got in the unemployment.
Wow.
So, yeah, that it's either or. You can't
yeah.
get both. So,
yeah.
You know, she goes, well, are you? I said, well, I'm not working now. You know, Mazda let me go. I was selling cars, and Mazda let me go. So she's like, all right, don't worry about that. Boom. And she took care of all of this paperwork and making these phone calls and writing these letters for me. And she literally told me, you just concentrate on getting well. So I come home, and my, you know, Dr. Salmon is like, well, we're going to try to control your pain. You know, everything else looks good to me. There's no cancer in your liver, none in your kidneys. All of your arteries and all of your organs are in good shape. There's no lymph nodes problems. Everything else is fine. It's only in your pelvis. It's in the bones. That's it.
Right.
And in your prostate. Don't let no other doctor tell you it's somewhere else because it's not.
Okay.
He said, I know because I'm looking at your scan. I'm the one taking care of you. I know what I'm talking about, and I've been doing this for 30 years.
Wow.
So I'm like, okay, I trust that you wouldn't give me, you know, misinformation, but I also pray that you give me the right diagnosis and that you're getting guided the way you need to be guided to take care of me.
Right.
So he says to me, he goes, you know something? I've been dealing with cancer for 30 years. I have never come across a patient. You are the absolute first patient I've ever come across who I didn't have to be coach, cheerleader, pep talker, and get you ready to fight. You came in here and told me you were ready. I said, yeah, I talked to my guy and I talked to my friends and I put it out there. I said, dude, I got my warriors already praying for me. I'm praying for me. They're praying for me. We're going to get this taken care of. I just need you to do what you need to do.
Amen.
He said, okay.
Amen.
You know, he said, okay, well, I let's get started. And I took my first shot. Now, mind you, like I said, I'm not a big fan of needles. So this little nurse comes in here with this huge, and the needle looks huge to me. And she's like, it's not a big needle. And I'm like, I don't care what you say, lady, that thing is going to hurt. You know, I lost in the stress of trying to find out and waiting for these tests to come back. I must have lost about 30 pounds just because of the stress. And it will stress you out.
Yes.
When I told my friends here in New York and Philly, because I lived in Philly for 9 years, when I told all of my friends and I put it out there and told all my comedian friends, when I tell you the support, that is extremely important that you have to be relentless with your support.
Yes.
Because
yes.
A person that's sick, and this is me, I can only give you my experience. There were days I didn't want to come out of the house. I'm just sitting here like, man, I got cancer. I don't want to be around nobody sick. I don't want nobody worrying about me. I don't want nobody, you know, fawning over me. Oh, let me get that for you. Let me do this. I didn't want all of that.
Right.
And my boy tells me, my boy Chris calls me, and he goes, look, man, I know you don't want this, But check this out. I went through this with my grandma. I went through this with my mom. I know what you're going through, bro. Right now, that radiation, because they gave me the radiation for the pain, you see, yeah, right now, that's got you feeling sick and nauseous and tired. But I don't care. I'm outside your house. Open the door. I'm going to take you to get you something to eat, and then we're going to go do your radiation. If you got to come to my house, then we'll go to my house. I already talked to the missus. Everything is cool. If you got to crash on the couch, then you crash on the couch. And I'm like, well, dude, what do you mean? How far are you? You know, I'm outside. Throw the keys out the window. I am outside mm-hmm. your house. Throw the keys out the window. You need me to iron? What do you need me to do? And literally, when I tell you, will not take no for an answer. None of my friends, none of them. When my sister called and she's like, well, you know, I could come down there. I said, no, you just got a promotion. And I don't want you to you know, change your life around for me. If I get to a point where I can't take care of myself, then I will tell you to come on down here. I said, I'm going to give you the numbers to my friends here who I depend on, who will not let me be alone. No matter what I do to be alone, they won't let me be alone. Absolutely relentless. So it's, dude, we're going to watch the football game. I know you're a Cowboys fan, and I don't usually let Cowboys fans in my house, but, you know,
you
are an exception
to
the rule. And that's literally what it was. Like, okay, for mm-hmm. you, you can come in. I'm doing a barbecue, whatever, come through. You need to go to sleep, lay on the couch, go to sleep. You are the only one allowed to come to my house and go to sleep. So I'm like, dude, you don't really have to do all that. Don't tell me what I got to do. If I don't do that, Shaquana will be mad at me. So just go ahead and eat. Make sure you eat. And it was that kind of support that has helped me to this point, to this day. You know, I'm still, I'm at the very early stages of this as far as the treatments go. I still have my difficult days. I still have some days where I sit here and I think, man, of all the things, cancer, how did that get me? How did it get past me going to get the exam? At 40 years old, I started doing the prostate exam every year. How did this get by? You know, what did I do wrong? And it was nothing I did wrong. Sometimes, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, we have a caller in, and I needed to bring them in. They've been holding a little bit. Just hang on one
okay.
second. Welcome to the On the Edge show, caller. You on the air?
Yes, I am. Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, my name is Carla McLean, and I was calling in to tell the brother, just be encouraged. I mean, you know, I'm a survivor also, colon cancer.
Praise God. Praise God.
Yes,
God
indeed.
God has been good. It was third stage when they found it.
That's
and,
real good. Real good.
Yeah, no symptoms. You know,
yeah.
No symptoms. But I noticed, what I did notice, even though there was no pain in my body, I noticed the stool change. And those are some of the subtle signs that you have to pay attention. And it just
mm-hmm.
happened that I was watching Dr. Oz one day. He talks about a lot of things that are very, very important when it comes to paying attention to the body that we would not normally do. And you don't have to be a person that eats wrong. I mean, I was raised on soul food, but as an older black female, I wasn't eating pigtails and pork chops and chitlins and all of that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, my father would have told you.
Cancer is just in our family for one reason or another. But God's grace is sufficient because when you live
yes.
through it and you've had the treatment and you're still here to tell the story,
yes.
that
yes,
is a testimony to itself.
Yes,
right.
It is. Yes,
hey, Carla.
Hi. Hi, Steph.
Hey, Carla is one of Simply Sensational Inc. girls.
Hi,
yeah.
Welcome.
Thank
we're
you.
Definitely
well,
welcome here.
Thank
yes,
you.
Indeed.
So, well,
but
let me
I,
ask.
I guess, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to ask both of you a question. And the reason why I'm asking is because Monday night I'm going to be having a special segment where we're speaking about victims of trauma, rape, you know, things to that effect. Now, what people don't tend to understand is that being diagnosed with something such as what the two of you have shared today is a trauma. You know, to the first time you hear it. And you're right, I'm going to go to you, Sugar Bear, you're right about the support structure being an absolute necessity. Now, I want to, well, let me ask this on the air. If either of you are available on Monday, I would really like it if you would join the panel and offer what you're saying now as an experience testimony to the listeners for that day. Because this topic was prompted by four girls that I ran into in my community, all victims of rape, and I'm a survivor of rape, molestation, and also domestic violence, and I also lost a little boy 3 months after he was born. Thank you. And I could tell you now, dealing with the grief, people say the stupidest things when they don't know how to deal with their discomfort in the situation.
Right.
This is true.
They don't know how to deal with that or deal with, like, your reactions. For example, like you said, Sugar, you were like, you didn't want to be bothered with anyone. You want to shut down everybody. And you had the friend with the good mind to say, to hell with all that. You know, you're my boy, I'm going to take care of you, you know, whether you like it or not. I knew there was days that I said I wanted to be alone, but all I really wanted was for somebody to just physically be there and just shut up.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Yeah, so that's sometimes that's all you need, really.
Really,
you know,
really.
There's just somebody around that would listen to you.
Mm-hmm. And that's what the show is going to be about. I'm sorry, Deacon. I'll get right back to you. The show is going to be about helping these victims kick the victimization, and that's what I want. A lot of the loved ones around them are also feeling helpless, so they become more of a problem than a support structure because they don't understand. So I would like for that to be something that is spoken about.
Right.
If you're available.
Okay.
Well, Monday.
We'll have to see what's on.
It's 8:30 every day, so every night, every 8:30
in the morning?
No, this time, every night.
Oh. Okay.
I'll be still flying into New York Monday, so I probably won't be able to call this Monday.
Well, we're in New York.
I'll be touching down. My flight lands, I think, 8:45.
Okay.
Oh, actually, that's right. Monday is the 21st. Sorry, that segment is Tuesday. My bad.
Yeah.
I'm old.
Hey, we all have
things,
our issues.
Okay.
I forget things, too. It's okay.
Yeah. You know, that's one of the things that goes once you get to a certain age.
Hey, you know.
I'm a single mother of six. That's why it goes.
No, I think mothers have developed that. I can't hear you, Gene. It's that commercial with little Stewie. Mother.
Yeah.
Mother's
oh, my God,
like,
that's right. And then she finally said, what? And all he said was, hi.
That, but the constant calling would drive me nuts.
Yeah.
I know it
yeah.
would. You know, so back a little bit back to what I was saying, what I have come to realize is, I guess what is meant for me to do is talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I have been talking about it. I had a small conversation with a friend of mine, and he took that and ran with it, and he calls me up and he goes, yo, dude, I got some speaking engagements for you. Have you ever thought about doing public speaking first? But I have some engagements for you. And I'm like, dude, what are you talking about? And he's like, oh, yeah, man, I got these doctors lined up. I got some people with some money lined up. You're going to talk to them on the 30th. We're going to get some money from them. We're going to start your non-for-profit and blah, blah, blah. And this is all you got to do is show up and talk.
Wow.
And I'm like, I said, you did all this from our conversation. I think you would be great at that. And I was like, really? He goes, you would be the perfect guy. You speak regular people's language.
Right.
You are a regular person.
Mm-hmm.
We need someone like you, not to come at it from a doctor's point of view or a rich person's point of view. Mm-hmm. You are perfect. You are going to be the motivation speaker. That's what I want you to do. Oh. And I'm like, okay, well, if, since you put it all together, I mean, I don't know what to tell you, but, yeah, okay, let's do it. If we can help one person, that's fine.
Look at the blessing in that. Not only are you able to reach those that are out there that are not able to grasp the higher level of understanding, but you're right there meeting people where they are and where they need to see God's hand, and God is allowing you to stretch out and be used for his glory, and that you're letting people know there is hope. So when the doctors have counted you out or they say only this amount of time is left, you are still reaching out. You're moving. You're talking. You're doing the work of the Father. You're allowing your strength to be used and your energy to be used in a positive way. To the point, after a while, it would seem like, is this real?
Right.
Yeah.
God is really moving. That's how God moves.
When he moves, man, you got to be ready. All you have to do is be ready. The first thing Dr. Salmon said to me after telling me I had prostate cancer, the next thing he said was, now, I'm not telling you you have a limited amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
He said, we can fight this. I need to know what your fight is. Do you have the fight in you?
Mm-hmm.
That's what it comes down to. You know, when you get told this kind of news, yes, you will be shocked. And I was shocked for weeks after that. You know, just thinking, man, I got cancer. Like, seriously? You know, I did the vegetarian thing for years. I did the vegan thing for years. I'm eating right. I'm doing all this stuff.
Like, you've always been a nice guy. I've watched you on TV for years. You've never been a man that will seem like, you know, totally out of range of good health. You always seem like a nice, healthy guy. And that's, and see, my thing is the opposite. I've always been a heavy woman. But I'm not a person that sits and eats candy and cake all day. But I ended up with this cancer. With what? You never know. I can't say. And you know what? When they gave me the diagnosis, I didn't say why. I said, what next?
I guess I was asking why, because I found out in 98 that I was diabetic, you know, so I'm dealing with that. And then I'm like, come on. Now this?
Look at what happened. You're still here, man.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
And something that people die with, God allow his people that he wants to use, that will know they'll be used, that allow themselves
to live with it. The place I was living over here, and I just moved over to another neighborhood in Charlotte, but the young lady I was staying at this townhouse, a coworker of mine, I met her working with US Airways.
Mm-hmm.
Now, me and this girl are only coworkers. Now, her dad recently passed from prostate cancer. So when I tell her what's going on with me, she's like, look, don't worry about paying me nothing. I know you say your job lets you go. Stay there until you get your stuff together.
Mm-hmm.
And she let me stay here rent-free. I stayed at her place.
That's a blessing.
Now, you know, she called me to tell me, hey, I can't really afford to pay the mortgage on my dad's place in Jersey and pay the mortgage on here, so I'm going to have to sell that place. Do you have somewhere you can go? I said, yeah, I can call around. I'll see what I can do, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'll find out what I can do. And this is before the government shutdown went on. So now I call Social Security. And the guy tells me, he goes, do you have your file number, your case number? I said, well, my case is still pending with Social Security Disability. And he's like, he said, if you already had it, then I could have put you in a hotel and we could have taken care of paying for that until an apartment opened up.
Mm-hmm.
He said, but because you don't have it, I can't do that. I can't give you that.
Wow.
So I'm like, damn, I'm right at the doorway. I'm at the doorway.
Mm-hmm.
I can't get past the next step.
I know that.
Open up.
Oh, my God, I know that feeling all too well. It's like you're right there, and everything that they say you need is in place, and then there's always that last connecting link.
There's always that
one thing. I could tell you that from growing up, you know, and I'm sure that, Minister McLean, you can definitely account for this. You know, all our life, we were taught to believe in Jesus and God, and, you know, so we've believed him and we've served. But it's a whole different thing from believing and actually knowing. And that I had to learn.
It's a whole different realm, darling.
Right.
It takes your head to another spin. It takes you like, where's God? Yes, he's there. He is there. This is how the scripture becomes alive.
Right.
Exactly.
As long as you're just taught something, and as long as you're walking in tradition, you don't really know. But the moment reality and life starts hitting, we didn't think it would hit. Now you need to rely on that scripture that you were taught and that Sunday school lesson that you remember and the people that keep trying to tell you that you need to know Jesus. You see what I'm saying?
Amen.
Because in spite of what people, how they plotted on Joseph, and they put him in the pit.
Right.
And you didn't know you were going to go to the palace.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the craziest thing
you know
that I tell a lot of my friends is, now I was pretty spiritual before. I said, but going through this, now I see it.
Mm-hmm.
I see it. You know, I'm like, I know he's working. I said, you know what?
Yeah,
he's been there all along.
The whole time.
All through the ride, he's been there.
That's
you know, I tell people when I was 14, I had a guy pull a shotgun on me, and he tried to pull the trigger, and that gun didn't go off.
It wouldn't go off.
And when you talk about
nothing but God. Nothing but God.
But at 45, I realized that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I was telling a friend of mine, my ex-girlfriend, actually, I said to her, I said, you know, you're always complaining and you always want this and you always want that, and you always keep asking God to help you. I said, you know, every time you ask him to help you, he puts in a plan to help you. You know what you do to break that? You go off and do your own thing.
He's
working. I said, the minute you ask him for it, it's already working. It's coming your way.
Mm-hmm.
I said, now, I asked him to show me, because I was really laying in that hospital bed thinking to myself, man, I'm just a comic, just a regular old guy. Who would miss me? What have I done? What have I done with my life?
Mm-hmm.
And literally the next day, the phone would not stop ringing. I'm getting calls from people telling me, yo, you don't know what you did for me. Let me tell you, I met you at a comedy show, and I was ready to leave my wife and kids, and your whole show was about family and how wild family can be. I went home, and I hugged my kids, and I worked it out with my wife.
Amen.
And I'm like,
look at that.
Wow,
ministry. And a lot of people don't understand how, even though you're in the spotlight, God has given you a gift to step in a certain level of stardom and recognition and celebrity. But that celebrity spirit, that gift that God gave you, is for ministry. It's so that you can get to the hearts of those that wouldn't go to the regular church. Because the church ain't in the four walls. God done left the building.
He says in all things give him praise. What happened is too many of these traditional religious, not spiritual, but religious leaders have conformed the board to what they feel is comfortable for them, which is one of the reasons why for many years I did not step foot into a church to serve. I served reading the Bible at home and, you know, and praying on my own. But the thing is, there's a few things involved here, and you two both are actually touching on it as you're speaking. Usually we come closer to the Lord when we have an extreme joy moment or an extreme tragedy in our life. And that's what the trials are about, is that we reconnect where we've come from. But she's absolutely right. Your craft is your ministry, because when you have the power to stand in front of thousands of people at one time and right. say something, because everybody's eyes and ears are on you. And the way that you choose to deliver your image is the way that these people are going to follow you. And that is where
yes,
you
indeed.
Make or break things. Now, you have I had to learn something, too, okay? I had to learn that all the things I cried about, even though I believed through it, I cried about it and I asked why. It wasn't about me. It was about exactly where I'm sitting right now. I've been through domestic violence. My ex-husband literally sets away our mortgage and wind up putting us in a street and then put us in a basement directly across the street from the house we owned. We got called out on some anonymous tip that we were a large family living in an illegal basement. The city of New York came and took us out on Mother's Day of 2007. We were in a New York City nasty shelter for 3 years, and I understood then when I was in the shelter why I was going through it, because there were four families with large amount of kids like myself who did not understand why I looked like I was rich in our family when all God gave me was the power to look for discounts.
Amen.
That's it.
Okay, and they asked me how did I do it by myself. Meanwhile, they had all sorts of partners coming in and out to deal with them and give them physical pleasure. How was I managing to go to school and get my first college degree at 40, raising 7 kids in a shelter by myself while going to court against their dad? So I got a 3.1 GPA in computer networks operations, and I told myself the reason why was because God put in me more of a spirit to lead my children by example than to think about my physical circumstances.
That's right. That's right.
Yes, indeed. Yes.
I had to learn
a difficult lesson myself. You know, I don't know if you know D.K. Bowser, another comedian. He called me one day, and we sitting here talking on the phone, and, you know, I'm telling him, like, dude, you know, I'm just having some difficulty with, like, all these people wanting to help me, because I don't really ask people for help, you know. And he said to me, he said, well, let me ask you this. Who are you?
Yeah.
I said, what do you mean? He said, who are you?
Mm-hmm.
Who are you to deny someone their blessing?
Yes.
Them driving you to the doctor could be them doing
right.
a good deed.
Mm-hmm.
Them bringing you something to eat or you know, just coming by and doing something for you. Who are you?
That's right. You're stopping
to
their
tell
blessing?
Them they cannot have that blessing.
That's right. The more that people
about
do.
That for like 3 days.
And you have
they
to
do.
Allow them to do that, Huggy. You have to allow people to do what they're doing to feed into you, because as they bless you, God blesses them. And I didn't know this myself, but I was sick. My girlfriend was coming, and she just moved from Halsey Street to Westchester. That girl came every day to take me to chemotherapy treatment and sat there. And she's a social service worker, CPS worker, and they work morning, noon, and night. And I just had to look at her and say, are you kidding me? She said, get in this car.
Believe me, it'll touch you.
In the morning, she said, "You here?" I said, "But I shut my mouth because God said, "Leave it to me." And I said, "Okay,
my
God,
boy
I didn't have no step around. I didn't have no Social Security. I didn't have any of that. But God put hands and feet and cars and people and love in the way. See, when you give out things." It got to come back, baby. It may not come back the same way you gave it and when you gave it and to the person that you gave it to. But it's coming back.
It's
going
to come back.
Pay it forward.
Sure.
Pay it forward. Pay it forward.
Believe me.
That's right.
And I learned this lesson from Naeem Lynn, who opens for Kevin Hart. He calls me and says, yo, dude, I'm going to tell you something that you don't even know. He said, 11 years ago, I was going through it with my mom. I was homeless. You was taking me home from Philly, driving me to Jersey. You stopped and bought a cheesesteak sandwich. He said, you gave me half of that sandwich. You didn't ask me if I wanted it. You didn't know what was going on. You just gave me half of the sandwich. He said, little did you know, I hadn't eaten for 3 days.
Wow.
He said, and I promised myself, no matter what goes on, if you ever need me, I will be there for you.
You see that?
And
people will tell you what they're going through. They don't always voice what they're going through because of pride or because of, you know, them trying to be people think they are. So their pride over the situation doesn't allow them to always expose what they're going to. But when we are led by God to share and to give, I used to open up my door, and I had one bedroom, and I was a caretaker for my mother, and I had a teenage son. But I found a family that didn't have nowhere to go, the kids, their parents had died. I said, come on, live with me. And everybody was like, are you crazy? You ain't got no room. I said, oh, excuse me, you don't live in my house. And they said, Miss Caldwell, how are you going to eat? I said, if I eat, you eat. And where I sleep, you'll sleep. I didn't think nothing else about it. Because my thing is not on my watch. You're not going to be hungry on my watch. You're not going to be homeless on my watch. Any time that I'm around, it's my responsibility to make sure everybody eats.
I can't do much, but I definitely can cook, and that's the one thing.
You're not able to do much, darling, but when you do it, just make sure it's from the heart.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Yes, because if it doesn't come from the heart, it's null and void.
That's right.
Yes, indeed.
There's no way you can receive.
Don't you know you touched on something that made me think about offering in church? The Bible, God even says it. He said, if you have money and it's time for an offering, and if you don't want to give it, and then you're saying to yourself, oh, I know, the church is just asking for 10%. But I ain't got it today. I got bills. I ain't paying my. The Bible says it's better to keep it than to give
That's
it.
Right. That's yes, right.
Hold,
mm-hmm.
hold on
That's
to
right.
what you
God loves a cheerful giver.
He loves a cheerful giver, dog.
I recently had to tell a friend of mine that because she was going through something. And I post stuff on Facebook, little sayings here and there, and I let folks know, you know, what's going on with me. So she was like, yeah, you know, I'm tired of helping folks, blah, blah, blah. I said, no, you don't help out because you feel you have to. I said,
right.
If you give it to them, give it to them.
Right.
Don't worry about what they're going to do with it. Just give it to
mm-hmm.
them.
Don't expect
nothing. Because your blessing is going to come from that.
That's
now, whatever
right.
they do with it, they do. But, hey, you know what I mean? I said, look, I don't have a whole lot.
Yeah.
But I got clothes that I can't wear anymore.
You forget, we don't have to have a lot. Remember,
not at all.
People, we ain't never had a whole lot. But whatever
right.
we had, we fed the children next door, the people upstairs. You know, Mama always
lived. Of course.
She didn't have a whole lot, but everybody was full.
Yeah, she took me
everybody
for a ride.
Was full.
I went to give these clothes to Salvation Army,
mm-hmm.
and I dropped the clothes off, and we you know, I get back in the car, and she's like,
mm-hmm.
wait, you ain't getting a receipt? I said, no, I already got my receipt.
There you go.
She said, no, the man's supposed to get. I said, I already got my receipt.
Amen.
I don't need their paper to tell me there's something good coming my way. Just
That's
drive
right.
off. I don't want his paper.
Yes,
I don't
thank
need
you.
That tax deduction.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need
you
that
do
paper.
We do have to give up an account every year, whatever you give into Antioch Baptist Church on Green Avenue, they'd be like, okay, well, they give us a letter. Every year, whatever you give, whatever you donate, they give it to you. They have annual meetings to show people their books, where your money is going, what's happening with the money. You sit in the meetings, you raise your hand. If you say, what happened to the Sunday school change? What happened to this? What happened to that? They are sure with accountability. That's what I respect about the ministry, because they're accountable to the people. But every November, we give out coats. We give out baskets, people, family. We tell families, please come and get your baskets for your Thanksgiving dinners, turkeys and hams, and not just box stuff, because my pastor said, don't give what you don't want.
Oh, absolutely. Listen, oh, my God, Carla, that you should say that. That is my biggest pet peeve, because my family is large. I definitely struggle, and I'm not a person that has the type of pride that, you know, not even about handouts, because you know what, sometimes it's not handouts or giving away stuff. It's not always
right.
about poverty. It could be
right.
that something in that pile is a pretty shirt you're not going to find in a store anywhere.
That's
so,
right.
you know,
That's
certain
right.
things. Certain things go there, but let me tell you something. I have a problem with this. Yes, my family might be in need. Yes, I'm coming, you know, to a point of obtaining something in a way that is not the way I would prefer it if I could do it. But by all means, don't give my newborn baby, okay, a blanket that has throw up on it that you couldn't wash out.
No,
you understand what I mean?
No. Mm-mm. I don't like that. No, no, no. When you give somebody something, you give it with the love of God. You make sure that thing is clean, it's pristine, it's right.
Yeah,
or
the way I would want
it. As a matter of fact, you can't bring stuff to my church that ain't right. Because it'll be shot
down. I wouldn't give away anything.
Doing that. And then we'll do a toy drive for Christmas. We had so many toys in December. My pastor, he said, you're going to feed the family and you're going to give them toys. So now they put me in charge of that. And I said, okay, well, I got to go all out. So everybody gets a gift. This Christmas past, thank God, we were able to give a family with four children, at least each child had two and three toys.
Oh, awesome.
That's your bag.
I've been there and done that.
We love doing it. We love it.
I've been there and done that. For me, if I don't have a way to feed my, listen, on Christmas, and believe me, Lord's blessed me that on Christmas, it's not even so much for me if there's gifts under the tree, even though, of course, that would make life great. But if my thing is, I have sadness if I can't have lights in a tree, because every Christmas, I don't even use regular lights. We light the entire house up with Christmas lights, and that's the way that we light the house up, because there's just something in the beauty of it. Now, one of the things that I will say to both of you is this. We can't testify to something we haven't lived or understood. So God allows us to go through what is personal to us to be strong in that ministry for someone going through it. That I know. I'm an advocate for troubled teens. I'm an advocate for youth, for domestic violence victims, for rape and incest, for runaways, all of those things I've been through. And I can stand strong and say I've overcome it because of X, Y, and Z. Here's something to try. You can't go and tell a person on drugs the Lord will deliver you from drugs if you've never been on it and struggled.
Okay,
because you're going to look like a complete alien.
You're all right. You're right.
Yes.
And I guess for me, I've been doing this type of stuff for years, or what I've been calling turning over leaves. Mm-hmm. Now, I overheard a conversation when I was about 19. My mom and her friends didn't know I was in the house. And I'm running the streets, and I was out there. That's pretty wild. I overhear them telling my mother I wasn't going to make it to 21 at the pace
that
I was going.
Liar.
You know, he's not going to make it. Because I was doing some wild stuff. I was.
Mm-hmm.
So I started turning over leaves very early.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized after my dad passed, that I have become so much of a different person. My sister and my niece was talking about, we grew up in Spanish Harlem, and, you know, whenever we got in trouble, we came and got Anthony, which is my brother.
Mm-hmm.
We always came and got him because everybody was scared of him. I said, really? That's why y'all came and got him. Oh, no, you don't look like the type that would fight. I said, who did you think Anthony came to when he had problems? I said, before you came along, you are the baby sister. I said, there's people in Spanish Harlem that know a different Daniel. They know a different Sugar Bear than what you know. Okay? I said, they know that they knew if you mess with my little brother, you had to deal with me. I said, that's who he came to. And after I left that conversation, I was like, wow, I have turned completely around so many times that they don't even know. You know, like my family doesn't even know that, you know, I was out there wild for the night. Guns, knives, everything. I was in everything. I got into it. If it was something that could get me thrown in jail, I did it. I turned everything around. And this is like my boy, he just called me, my boy Fowler, who was taking me to my radiation treatments and stuff. He does a mentoring program for teenage boys. So I go and I talk with these kids, and, you know, they like, well, how you know about all this sugar bag? You ain't been out there. I said, dude, you think I just started telling jokes, man? You know, like, really? This is what you think I do? Well, let me tell you something. Where you going? I've been there. What you about to do, I've done. And I said, now, I had older men in my neighborhood who would pull me to the side and tell me, don't do such and such. Don't be stupid. I said, so I know that that's something that's missing in the community. So, yeah, I talk with the kids. I do that. I got another program I do with some kids that I pick up from school to help my homegirl out with her daycare center. And I call it the A group. And I tell them, you get all A's. If you get all A's, dinner is on me wherever you want to go. Oh, no, you're not going to do it. I said, well, until you get all A's, you won't know, huh? So they come back with all A's. I said, so out of the 12 students I talked to, only two of y'all got all A's. So where y'all want to go? I want to go Olive Garden. All right, well, if that's what it is, that's what it is. So we go to Olive Garden. I make all this noise. I got the horn, and I'm blowing the horn. Got my A students coming through. Excuse me. Excuse me, A students coming through. So people sitting here waiting like, what do you mean A students? I said, these are my two students. They got all A's. So dinner tonight is on me. They get a whole round of applause from these
students.
You
know what? You have an absolutely wonderful story, and guess what? Someone on this panel has almost a similar situation, and I'm going to let him speak it so you can hear, and you two can probably collaborate. Deacon?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah, well, you know, your story is absolutely as amazing as Sugar Bear's, so you can kindly speak on it, please.
Yeah, Sugar, we sort of been through almost about the same route because I used to be one of the streets at one time. I didn't think I would live to see 18 years old. I was labeled a menace to society at the age of 16. And I was looking at 10 to 15 years in the penitentiary for a crime that I committed. But during that time, I was running the streets thinking how bad and tough I was, and I didn't realize then that God had his hand on my life, but couldn't nobody tell me that until I got into some trouble. I went before this judge that I had been before several times before, and he gave me a choice. He said, look, I'm going to give you a choice, and I know I don't have to do this, but you'll either do these 10 to 15 years, or you can go in the military and do this 3 years in the military. So me being streetwise, I said, well, I'd do 3 years in the military standing on my head. You know? But what I didn't know was he had already made arrangements with the military base, and they were waiting for me when I got there. And when I got there, the realization was about to slap me in the face that I wasn't that tough Brooklyn boy I thought I was. You know,
we all find out the hard way, don't we?
Yeah. I was assigned this drill sergeant was assigned just for me, and he stood no more than about 5'9", and I was 6'2". But anyway, to make a long story short, that was when I realized that God had been controlling my life from day one, because I had a negative attitude about life. The only thing I cared about was my mother and my family, and nothing else mattered. And, my whole attitude on life and people, it just changed. I started to realize what it took to be a man. And when I got out, I didn't want to stay in New York. I wanted to, move around, see what other people were doing since I was out of the military and traveling around. And I came to Toledo, Ohio. I got snowed in. I've been here ever since, but it's been some trials and tribulations I've been through here. I suffered a neck and spinal cord injury on my job. I was misdiagnosed for over 6 months. They kept telling me all I had was a pulled trapeze muscle in my chest. And for over 6 months, they kept telling me that. And I was walking around with ruptured 6th, 7th, and 8th vertebrae. And it had got so bad to where I had got numbness in both my hands and my legs. And by the time I got diagnosed correctly, the disc in my neck had broken up and they had jagged edges, was threatening to sever my spinal cord. So they rushed me into emergency surgery, got the surgery done. Surgery went well. I was going through therapy, pool therapy and everything. And the numbness and tingling had stopped. But around the second week, it came back, seemed like worse than it was before. So I wound up having to go back to see a neurosurgeon
what had happened was I had walked around for so long like that to where my spinal column got weak and it collapsed and it shut off the spinal fluid coming through my spinal cord. So I had to go have another emergency surgery. They had to do what they call an infusion. After that surgery, my spinal column was permanently damaged, so the fluid doesn't flow through the line like it's supposed to, so I have permanent damage to my neck and spinal cord. But, you know, to show you how awesome God was, 2 hours after my second surgery, I died. I was gone for 7.5 hours. Brain function, heart functions, and everything stopped for 7.5 hours. They were going to pronounce me dead at 1 o'clock in the afternoon on January 23rd. Just when the doctor was getting ready to pronounce me dead, my eyes opened and everything, I was like in shock, like, well, what am I doing here? But my experience there was I was in a place to where the brightness I can't explain, and I could see myself on my knees trying to block out the light, but no matter what I did, I could not block out the light. And at first I was really scared, but then a calmness came over me that I never experienced before. And a voice said to me, it's not yours. And I'm thinking, not yours. And he said, your life is not yours. It belongs to me. And that's when I woke up and all these doctors were in my face, and the doctor said, well, welcome back, Mr. Williams. We brought you back. And the first thing came out of my mouth is like, no, y'all can't have this one. He's like, what? I said, no, y'all can't have this one. He said, what do you mean? I said, I was just in a conference with God. I was supposed to be paralyzed from the chest down, not be able to walk and in a wheelchair. And here I am today. I never thought I would be a person chosen by God to be an ordained deacon, and I'm studying to become a minister today. That shows you how awesome and powerful the God we serve is,
yes,
you know, because
yes, yes.
I never thought it would be me. You know, I've been through that with my neck and spinal cord. I've been through, I'm a cancer survivor. So I have so much to be thankful for, and there's no way I could sit back and do nothing and not, you know, go around and tell everybody how awesome God is. And how
yes,
much
indeed.
He does exist and how powerful he is. And like all of
Amen.
Us that are here and speaking in this broadcast this evening, we were all chosen for such a time as this.
I believe that.
Yes, for us to be able to sit here and give our testimonies about how great God is to over 14,000 people. Do you know how many lives we can touch?
I'm talking to 14,000 people?
Yes,
over 14,000 people listening right now.
Don't call us.
Yes.
Oh, my Lord, Jesus. That's ministry for you.
And let me say this.
Jesus.
Let me.
Carlos, let me cook. You're in trouble now.
Let me say this. Let me
okay, Sugar Bear, you got me in trouble, Sugar Bear. You see, your name is Sugar for a reason.
No, it wasn't me. I didn't do it this time.
Sugar shop.
We started out on May 27th of this year. Just that's how long we've been on the show. Just
wow.
May 27th. And I will never forget that when we looked and we saw, we did a pilot show to introduce the show to the listeners on May 20th. That very first show, 138 people tuned in, and I didn't know where they came from. Then the next week was our first official week. On May 27th, now here's the date, May 27th, that means there was only 4 days left in May. When the report came back, we had 1,608 listeners
wow.
for the week of May. And then it mushroomed, and I can't tell you. It's like I blinked, and now we're at 14,119. And yesterday we were at 14,042. So each and every day we get from 50 to 300 people each day that come in and listen. So
those numbers are going to change again.
Yeah.
They're going to change again.
Well, I already see that my caller panel lit up
to the max today, which was something I've not had ever. I mean, we've had a lot of callers, but today the slots were filled and people were telling me I can't get in. So, you know, I know it's because, you know, all you got to do is say celebrity, but you understand, it's like I don't see you all as celebrities. I see you as people with the position that God gave you that can do big things. With this show, I mean, Deacon has been
a celebrity.
I am not a celebrity.
I don't
even
think about
celebrities. You got to get you another panel. You're going to need another panel to handle more of them calls.
Well, I might have to just upgrade to the three-hour show or something, but
yeah,
I will tell you this. I do believe that everything we go through is for a reason. Now, God put this in my heart to do from last winter, I believe, the winter that just passed, and night after night, for 3 weeks, there were just visions in my head, and I had to write them down. Then I started a website. I didn't know how to do a website to start from scratch, and then now, when I got started, I couldn't stop. And I knew that every day. Then I met people like Barry Mason, who got me to Stephanie and Marcia, who got me to things like you guys now. So every day, this is when I knew that this is where God needed me to be. Now, I'm a writer. I've taught dance in church. I've taught dance in the community. And my first passion was always writing. But this year puts me in the position where I get to be in the public, I get to talk to people, I get to tell my story, I get to listen to others and write. So God integrated everything I love to do into this one very important mission. Now, what I need you two to understand, because see, Stephanie and Zeddy, they've been here and they know, this show offers free advertising to local entrepreneurs, like single mothers who know how to do hair or have a babysitting, or little kids that are trying to be in the rapping business or the music business. We advocate for them. We give them free advertising every Saturday from 7 to 9. It's 2 hours of showcasing those people. Not topics, it's just showcasing. On top of that, we're about to start on Tuesday. We just became the official elementary school campus radio for my children's school in Springfield Gardens, Queens, New York. So now,
that principal has been
the only African-American woman principal who has managed to keep that school still enriched with all the arts that the budgets of cuts have taken away. There's a high school, there's a basketball team, there's a gospel choir that competes. She still manages to be a hands-on principal who loves her children, not just that she's a principal and the teachers tell her. She knows her students. She advocates for the community. She cares. The PTA there is amazing. So every day that I come to her with something, if she can approve it under the rules of the chancellor's regulations, she's like, go ahead with it. So now thanks to her, we started Youth Day here. For the last 4 weeks, we have a Youth Day every Saturday where we pick kids from grades 4 through 12 to help us co-host the Saturday Showcase. They read off the names. They announce the next person.
I can tell you I have so many friends here in Charlotte that travel back and forth to New York right now, DJs that would love to teach their craft, talk to the kids. You plugged in. You are plugged in.
You're plugged in. And we have so many things at our church that are geared toward youth. We have Circle of Sisters, and we have YAC, Young Adults Christian Ministry. We have so many things that we're geared toward the teenagers especially. We don't want them to drop out of high school. Six of our girls are
Circle of Sisters. That's
college.
The other thing that we're doing.
You don't need
we're allowing Youth Day. We want Youth Day for the high schoolers.
There's so many phone calls coming in.
Yeah, because you're popular, dude. We have
we're going to get popular together. We're going to help you get where you need to get. I want to get the word out there.
This is what I would like for you to do. We are starting a nationwide program for people who write poetry or just write, and we want to try to encourage these children to start learning things past the text, acronyms. So we are running a contest right now that we are giving out to the schools. We started out in Queens because it's our local base. And what we're doing is we are going to have teachers pick out a student each week, every Tuesday. We're going to have a student submit to us an outstanding writing piece, be it literature or poetry essay, and we're going to give them an announcement. We're going to read their stuff on the air. We're going to give them a shout-out on the air, and we're going to showcase it on our Facebook page and our website. So we could try to give these children the incentive to go do better. For high schoolers, or the pre-high schoolers, those that are from 10th grade and up, we're trying to give them some arts experience to write down on their pre-college transcripts that they did some radio work with the radio show. Because these children are leaving high school and getting their diplomas and not having a damn job to go to. They don't even have...
Some of them leaving high school don't have an idea what they want to do either.
Right. And the other thing that we're doing... sponsors. We're trying to get this entire corporation right now registered, because one of the things that we want to really be able to do is be the first to offer legitimate work from home jobs for mothers that don't have child care. I'm not talking about W-9 forms. I'm talking about real W-2s, real W-4s, tax returns, and health benefits. And that's what we're... So our sponsorships prices are very cheap, and we're working on doing full-blown radio ads, which my consultant, Barry Mason, is helping us get the drops together. So that's what we're trying to do for local businesses, to get the airtime paid for. We got crowdfunding people now trying to help us. We got other investors that we are pitching to. This is what we want to do. We want to re-empower our economy and our minority communities. And our children.
Amen. That's right. That's the community. It's very, very important.
Yes,
we
indeed.
Get one, we get two, and it'll branch off, and we'll show what we really and how we really affect the economy. You know, that not too long ago a situation happened, not just with Oprah, with some other people where we weren't able to be served. Well, out in Charlotte, North Carolina, they didn't want to serve the people because the white person said they were uncomfortable with the group of black people that were there. And I put on the Facebook page, we should shut it down. If we stop spending our money for one day, everybody of color, don't do nothing. Hold your money.
Yeah.
We can show them what we're made of.
We can do that, but you'd be surprised how many people would say, I can't do it. A lot of people
would
get stuck in their head. They can't. I can't.
Yeah.
I can't. I won't. That kind of stuff.
Yes, we can, and yes, we will.
Yes,
we really become human.
And you'd be surprised. I mean, sometimes I find myself telling folks, you know, like what I found out. Like I said, it's only been 2 months since I found out about this. And in that time frame, I found that Prostate Health Month is September. I was born in September. Prostate Cancer Week is from the 17th to the 24th in September. My birthday is the 23rd. So, you know, all of these things are like shooting all these ideas in my head. So, yeah, I'm planning on doing the first annual Blue Ball, because that's the color for prostate awareness month is blue. So I'm going to do the first annual Blue Ball. You have to wear something light blue.
Okay.
And it's in support of prostate cancer and just cancer that affects men. There's not a lot of information out there for men. And I found that out here. When I was trying to find groups.
They don't have that exam. They don't like that exam. They don't want
to
touch them. And I try to push my son, go get it done. Any uncomfortability that you feel, any irregularity that you feel, go and get it.
When you turn 40, you got to do it. You know?
Well, we are down to our last 4 minutes, and I would like for Stephanie to be able to once again talk about the upcoming Comedy Cares fundraiser before we sign off for the night. So, Stephanie?
Okay. On October 22nd, we have Comedy Cares, the showcased fundraiser series. We're going to be doing a remembrance to our comedy heroes, which is Monteria Ivey, Rasheed Thurman, O'Neal, Todd Lynn, Big L, John Smooth, Cortez, Bernie Mac, Robin Harris, Dog Face, and recently we've had the death of Charlie Murphy Ray. Charlie?
Yes.
Right. Charlie Murphy, I should say. He recently died, I believe it was on the 15th. So we're looking back at our comedians that have passed away in the last 10 years. And when you look, when you do the research and you look at all of those comedians, their health wasn't the greatest.
Right.
You know, so what it's showing us that we do need to get our men to the doctor. And on October 22nd, we're going to have Health First there. For those that need health insurance, affordable health insurance, we're going to be trying to get everyone the information that if they would like to sign up and learn more about the programs and whatever offers are offered, we're going to have someone giving out information, signing people up for Courage, because a lot of times, you know, being self-employed, I mean, I'm guilty of it. Right now I have insurance, but when I didn't have insurance, you know, you're always thinking, can't afford it, can't afford it. And when you look at maybe when we were younger, it wasn't something we really needed. But we're all in that age where we're in our 40s and up, and now's the time where you never thought your body would break down. It's breaking down, you know, so we all have to look at that. But on that night, we're going to have music by DJ K. Swift. We're honoring Sugar Bear, and we're honoring Roz G. What a lot of people, when I talk about the comedians and the diagnoses, it's not to talk down about them or anything like that. It's just bringing awareness that these are people that have given us laughter for years. I've promoted comedy for 30 years, and I have to say I can't tell a joke. But I have to say, no matter what was going on in my life, if I went to a comedy show and they talked about things in life, whether it's your parents, your kids, your job, it helps you to look at things in a different light. So when I go on Facebook and I ask people to support this event, you know, I'm telling them as promoters, as friends of comedians, as just people that love comedy, why not support somebody that has given you laughter? If you can remember Uptown Comedy Club, if you can remember Vibes, if you can remember Caroline's and all the great, you know, comedy spots that are no longer there, when you look at Uptown Comedy Club as now the Dinosaur Barbecue.
Yeah.
Or 127.
Yeah, well, I got some insight on that.
But I was there for years. Okay. But basically on this night, we have a lot. There are so many comedians that have Facebooked me and Kenny and Marcia and said that they're coming out to this event. Sugar Bear, they haven't seen you in a while, and they want to see you and show their support. You know, the doors open at 6. Showtime is at 8.
Sugar Bear.
Okay. I do have to cut all of you short. I'm so sorry because we are down to our last few seconds.
Oh,
so I want to
get an address. Address 10 Reed Street. 10 Reed Street, which is by City Hall. The donation is $10. Only $10. $10.
Wonderful.
$10.
So, Mr. Sugar Bear, thank you very much for gracing our humble show with
thank
your presence.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me.
Yes, thank you, Sugar Bear.
Thank you very much, Miss McLean. I appreciate you very much. So much. And Stephanie, my baby.
Yes.
You know you're my baby. Marcia, I had to hang up, but if you're listening, you too. I can't thank you enough.